Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for June 17th, 2007, episode 31.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast.
Howdy.
Okay, we're really not that excited. Hey, welcome back. We are here again recording the show everybody knows now as the Angry Admins Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Your Kevlar-coated dose of IT news.
Ooh-ha. My name is Joe Bibby.
And I'm the other host, Ryan Necessary.
And on this show, we're going to talk about some news and then something else, which has yet to be decided. So tune in for something unknown.
It's a surprise even to us.
So what's the first hot news story we've got this week?
So Google Video has decided that they will start doing video from other sites other than their own. So you already have Google Video, you have YouTube, and now they're going to even start indexing video from the competitor sites such as MySpace and Yahoo Video. So I think overall this is a good thing. It makes Google search more relevant because more of the web is video now. Mm-hmm. So they're going to implement the full little thumbnail views and all the little preview windows and stuff for even the competitors' videos.
That'll be nice.
It'll be nice.
Well, it really makes sense because, you know, you go to Google and you do a normal search, it searches everything. You go to image search, it searches everything.
Right.
You go to video, and it just searched Google Video.
So that's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. So it really fits in. And now that they have YouTube, I think they feel more free to expand beyond their own enterprise. So very cool. Next story is sort of a follow-up to last week's WWDC. There's getting some not-so-friendly fire on the Safari 3 beta. Mm-hmm. A lot of stories have come out this week. Slashdot had one called Apple Picking a Fight It Can't Win with Safari.
Right.
Basically, the big problem is there's a lot of security holes in the Safari 3 beta, and you know, the UI, it's like the iTunes UI, so it doesn't fit with Windows. And you know, your browser, you kind of want to just be invisible. So a lot of people are not happy with the Safari 3 beta. One thing I did realize that I think the only reason they're doing this is because the apps for the iPhone are going to be web only, and this will allow people who are on Windows to test their apps without having to have a Mac. It is Safari on the iPhone. That's what I think that the real reason for this release is.
Right.
I don't know. Just a guess, but
it'll be weird. I just think it's weird now to have a third browser choice.
Yeah, I mean, the chances are very slim that more than 1% of Windows users are going to use this.
And I mean, I know there's Opera out there. I know there's other stuff, you know, but
I say it will be on par with Opera in usage, where there'll be some, you know, fanatics who will want to use it, or someone who's on a Mac who wants to feel at home on Windows, they can use it. But in general, I don't even use Safari on OS X, so why would I use it on Windows?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, so PS3, the next-gen gaming console from Sony Corporation.
The giant refrigerator.
Right. The game corporation that everyone loves to hate now.
Yes.
They're announcing that they may have a price cut for the PlayStation 3 consoles by this Christmas.
It's about time.
Yeah, so what is it, $600 now for the thing?
I don't even, I just know it's way outside of my price range.
You know, take out a second mortgage on your house to get a PS3. Yeah.
Well, and didn't I hear that the guy who was heading up the PS3 retired or resigned or Kutaragi or whatever his name was?
Yeah, they had a big shuffle at the top, basically, I think, in the marketing. Mm-hmm. They said, well, you know, I think the head honchos decided that it wasn't being marketed well.
Right.
And in light of all the negative press they've received since launch, they had felt like they had to make a change.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Japanese are very, I don't want to say they're blame-oriented, but usually when things go bad, someone's expected to kind of take the fall for it, you know.
Yeah.
So whoever that executive was, you know, them stepping down is kind of like accepting blame to take the blame off of the company itself.
You mean they're not like the U.S. where it's like
point the finger?
Point the finger at somebody not even in your company?
Right.
It's not our fault. It's gravity. We can't help it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're saying that the big contributor to this price cut is the shortage of blue-violet laser diodes is going to come to an end because the production facilities overseas that make this stuff are ramping up finally. And they say it may make the difference of about $100 on the console. Mm. So that would kind of close the gap.
Yeah, that really would be a big difference.
Right. And there's a lot of new content coming out for the PlayStation 3. Of course, they have the Blu-ray stuff. You know, it's not really been marketed as a Blu-ray player, but it could be marketed
right.
as that.
And if it's $100 cheaper, then it beats out the Xbox 360 HD-DVD combo.
Right. So that would be good news. And plus, they've released Home and some other... there's a lot
right.
of other
right.
Additions to that appliance that's going to make it more attractive. So,
mm-hmm.
by Christmas time, you know, the race may be starting to kind of narrow down to...
Yeah, it could be.
A closer thing.
I saw another story related that Sid Meier was saying that he is loving the PS3 and it's his favorite new system.
Hmm.
Which he's the guy who did Civilization and
Pirates.
Some of the big games.
Yeah, a lot of
some of the big, I think, processor intensive games is probably why he likes it.
Interesting.
So
they've also said recently that, I mean, granted, the Nintendo Wii is like the cheapest game console.
Right.
And the PS3 is the most expensive. But someone's theory is that the PS3 is not really competing against the Wii. The PS2 competes against the
Wii.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Because the PS2 is $100.
The price
it's small.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like God of War 2 was the huge hit that they just released for that. So with their old console, they can still compete with Nintendo's cheap new console.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what the Christmas holiday rush has in store for the game wars.
Yeah. Very cool. So we are bringing on the Apple hate this week. The reality distortion field from Steve Jobs has faded.
Has worn off.
And we've realized that maybe not everything he said was glorious. The next thing we've got covered is... So Apple announced that they were having all these new games from EA coming out.
Right.
You know, oh yeah, look, we're bringing gaming back to the Mac again for the 700th time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please buy these games. And some people did some more research and found out, got this story from Extreme Tech, that... it's actually not native code, and all they're using is this software base called Cider from a company called Transgaming, which has been around for the Mac for a while. And what it does is wrap the game with some Windows executables that allow it to kind of run in virtualization. This could be a big deal. It could be actually nothing, and you could never notice. But... you know, they kind of gloss over stuff like this, and it's kind of disappointing to show that they, you know, they really did kind of deceive everybody in saying that they're bringing all these games back.
Yeah, it's never quite as good as it sounds after the details sink in.
Right, yeah. So, the Apple really isn't a gaming platform. There's not a lot of graphics cards available for it, so, hey, you know, if I can run a game decently, then I'll be happy.
Right, and I'm not surprised that EA is kind of... you know, part of this because I really don't like EA.
Yeah, well, they tend to deceive as well. So, yeah, I'm more of a console gamer anyway, so this really isn't a big deal to me.
But, right.
Yeah, so.
Moving on, news from the FBI. Big Brother is saying now that over 1 million computers now they estimate are working for botnets. So, you know, the spammers and the distributed denial of service script kiddies out there that want to attack websites, that they feel like almost probably around 1 million computers now are probably under their control. They estimate that to be based on the number of computers hooked to the internet at this point, which they estimate, let's see, what was the number they said? 600 million computers, I think they're saying. So, I don't know.
So... this just popped in my head. It's kind of stupid, but you know what they probably did is they just looked at how many of those computers are still running Windows 98, and those are all botnets, 100% for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they admitted that almost all the botnet computers were older operating system.
Yeah,
and probably I would guess there are probably a lot of pirated OSs.
Which yeah, I bet you're right.
Don't pass Genuine Advantage, mm-hmm. which means they can't be patched by Microsoft. So the article also said. That they're not really trying to notify people that, hey, you're infected.
Yeah.
What they are doing is trying to identify the people who are running the botnets and go after them. So they made three major arrests recently in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of surprised. I thought that most of the people running the botnets would probably be overseas.
You would think so.
But whatever. I guess the USA is still number one in something, yeah. And that's illegal bot herding. But yeah, they made three big arrests, and I don't know. We'll see. But yeah. Those spammers will just be, their place will be taken by other spammers now.
Yeah.
Waiting to take over those bots. Mm. So
the moral of the story is buy Grandma XP for Christmas.
Yeah, XP Service Pack 2.
Yeah.
And
turn or on, Linux.
And, or Linux or Mac.
Yeah.
If you don't want her to be infected.
Let's see. Oh, the next story is it's kind of a humorous one. Slashdot found a story. Let's see. It was on actually Computer World. This kind of historic IT advertisements,
mm-hmm.
And some of these were pretty good. There's several that are just kind of cheesy, but my favorite was the laptop from Days Gone By, which it's briefcase portability. Now you can have a briefcase portability with Digilog interactive CRT terminals, control unit, keyboard, acoustic coupler, and 5-inch video monitor are all contained in one briefcase for maximum user convenience. And this thing is gigantic.
Let's be clear that the acoustic coupler is the thing that the old yeah. handset fits down into.
Right, right. So for dial-up, you just drop your handset right onto the computer. And
man, those were the days.
Yeah.
I didn't even ever have one of those. I mean, by the time either. I came into the whole web thing, yeah. they already had the internal modems, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I'm sorry. We had external modems.
Yeah, we had the external, but it was like 2400 baud. But
yeah, the US Robotics.
I missed the analog days of trouble.
Which using your telephone.
In the movie Hackers, they apparently thought that was still hip, but anyway, we won't go into that rabbit hole.
Yeah. So, iTunes, recently there was some news in the iTunes front that EMI was going to put some music out there that was going to be DRM free, that you could pay mm-hmm. a little extra money and you'd be able to kind of do what you wanted with that music. Now, EMI has said, well, we're going to carry that forward and we're going to do that for other distributors and retailers, not just iTunes. So I guess some of the online retailers, I don't know who all was going to be.
So it was the FYE online store. And the UK's 7Digital.
Okay, yeah.
Two big hitters in the
I was
going to
say,
world.
I was like, who are these guys? I don't recognize either of these companies. I guess I've seen FYE in a mall before.
Yeah.
Whatever. So yeah. this is like a tiny little grain of sand, you know, as far as relevance. But it is, I guess, a tiny grain of sand of progress
right.
towards
yeah.
more DRM-free music.
Mm-hmm. So. It is a good thing. I mean, you know, the more companies that we have giving out DRM free music, mm-hmm. the better we are.
But we're not yet seeing the whole like domino effect of, oh well, EMI is DRM free, so
right.
all these other ones are going to follow suit. Well, if they are, they haven't done it yet.
Well, I think the problem is EMI doesn't have any music anybody wants. It's like I went to upgrade my iTunes library with the iTunes Plus, and it was like three songs, and they were these like kids praise songs that I didn't even know I had on my computer. So I definitely did not update those.
So your wife really appreciates that, since she was maybe the one that downloaded
right.
it.
So I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks EMI, I guess.
Yeah. Going to bring it back to our roots with the toolbox this week.
Yay.
Something a little more white and nerdy, I would say.
Yeah, sure.
What this is, in Windows XP, there is a limitation for a per application RAM usage of 2 gigabytes. Mm. This is XP Service Pack 2, actually. But there is a way to enable 3 gigabytes with a boot option. We won't go into a lot of detail about it, but it basically is adding a /3GB to your boot options. And then what you do is you have this as one option, and then keep your standard one there as well, because it does actually seem to slow down standard apps. But if you're wanting to run like Pro E or something really heavy duty,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the RAM, this is really a good way to take advantage of that, because if you have 4 gigs of RAM and you're on XP, it's still only going to use 2 gigs for that Pro E. So we'll have a link in the show notes And it's really pretty easy. So go try it out. And if you have success or have failures, let us know. Hit us at feedback@angryadmins.com and let us know how it works for you.
Cool. This week in our feature, I'm going to rant a little bit about what I call zero-sum support. The idea of a system administrator having, you know, a lot of people, a lot of projects to support, and the term zero-sum, of course, indicating that when you do something for one thing, then it takes it away from something else. So, like, I can't, you know, do things which benefit everyone at the same time. So if I'm helping John, then Sally's waiting for
right.
me to help her.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So this was something I thought we could just kind of briefly discuss and throw some ideas out about. So recently at work, it's been very obvious because we support some teams that before kind of all worked on one thing and now mm-hmm. they're sort of doing different things. The team's kind of been broken up into subtasks. And, you know, team A is waiting for me to do something for them and team B is waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm working on something for A and then B comes down the hall and they're like, well, what's the status? Why aren't you working on our stuff? You know,
right.
So that's sort of the situation I've been getting caught in. And, you know, I'm not sure. I'm sure there's things, you know, they say system administration is all about automation and scripting, you know, mm-hmm. and if you can't do those things, then you're really wasting a lot of time. But a lot of the nature of what we do really, it's sort of very unique
mm-hmm.
things, IT solutions that we're trying to deliver. Whether it be Wi-Fi backhaul dishes or, you know, running network cables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't script running cables through a floor. You know,
right.
That's not going to get done that way.
Well, and a lot of what we do is kind of, you know, a one-time task. So
exactly.
Coming up with a script isn't really going to save us any time.
Right. And that's another tragedy is that all the time we're investing is going to get used once and then mm-hmm. never used again. Mm-hmm. So that's... It's kind of like cooking dinner. You're going to make it, eat it, and poop it out. it's not good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So, you know, this has just been my big gripe recently is that, you know, I can't seem to do anything at work which helps multiple people at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And probably what I need to do is for, say, people that need help with email, people that need help with printers, I need to just write. And I do have this to some degree, you know, mm-hmm. how-to guides, you know, web pages that I can just forward on the link and go, follow this.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, that's almost like a human script, you know. It's like, here's a script for you to follow, run once.
Right.
If you have errors, output to...
Yeah, someone else. So output to Joe. But I really should be doing that for more of the user problems, but... I don't know. I guess in some cases I can't exactly do that because I think the people that are coming to my office the most for the most help are the people that the web page probably would help the least. Because
yeah.
like, well, what is this trying to tell me to do?
And, right.
You know, I mean, you know what kind of users I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the neediest users are usually the ones who are the least trained, I guess I would say,
mm-hmm.
where you need to help them every step of the way. So it's almost a point of, you know, even a printout wouldn't really help them because they wouldn't know what you're telling them in the printout.
And probably their mental concept of support is, I need a tech to come to my desk.
Right.
Not
right.
send me a how-to and a web page that mm-hmm. I'm going to have to read through and try to understand what
right.
steps it is and all this kind of stuff.
Because we do have the advantage of, you know, we can, if we get two out of time or whatever, we have a help desk we can send them to. I mean, we're in a unique situation where we're kind of there to augment the existing system.
Mm-hmm. We're sort of special projects.
Right. Yeah, we do special projects and then, you know, stuff that's high priority we get put on, and,
mm-hmm.
Which makes it interesting but also makes it difficult to prioritize and really, you know, like you're saying, make it zero sum and segment those projects out.
And the other tragedy there is that our users are kind of spoiled and they don't want to
mm-hmm.
call the help desk when they
right.
can just walk down the hall and ask us,
yeah.
you know, how do I do this with Microsoft Word?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I can appreciate that because I know when I call the help desk, even if I explain to them, you know, this is what I do, here's, they still have to go through their checklist of database questions to get them through their queue
mm-hmm.
to know how to route you and that kind of thing. And so
right.
it's just frustrating.
So you're going to lose 7 minutes just them trying to figure out who you are, where you are,
mm-hmm.
confirm that you do have support,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's your machine's ID, what's
right.
your username, where are you calling from, what's your office extension in case
mm-hmm.
we get cut off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's all that drama. So,
mm-hmm.
But the other bad part about, you know, people pinging on you as a sysadmin is I've always kind of broken down my job into, you know, like direct user support, like, you know, fix my email, fix my printer, whatever, stuff like that. And then that's sort of the putting out fires mode. That's where you don't want to be. You know, where I want to be is all that stuff, my users are going, they're good. If they need help, they can just look it up on a web page or whatever. And then the things I should be able to work on all day are, you know, firewall rules, tuning the server for optimum performance,
right,
or tracking down some sort of obscure network problem, or, you know, building, I guess, low-level architecture improvements that will help everybody.
Right.
You know, so now I'm not, if I'm working on those type things, then I'm not in the zero-sum game. Now I'm doing the positive-sum type stuff where, hey, look, here's a new server. Everyone can use it.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a new firewall. Everyone benefits. You know, and those are the type of things that you invest time. It takes up your entire IT environment to a new level, and everybody appreciates it, and it looks good on your weekly status reports and all this kind of stuff. But unfortunately, it just seems like I keep getting bogged down with these individual users where time spent only helps that person, and even then, sometimes not even then.
Right.
So I don't know. What's lately, what kind of mode have you been in with that kind of stuff?
Well, I'm in kind of a unique situation because I've been actually doing lately a lot of non-IT tasks, which are about to be finished up, but that's been frustrating to me because it's like I'm spending all this time and I feel like my network is getting neglected and I'm just waiting for that big failure to just kill me, which actually has already happened a couple times. But for me, I think the unique situation I have is the new lab I'm in, I'm out there with everyone I'm working with.
Yeah.
So they see how busy I am.
Right.
So they know, you know, oh, wow, he's working on all this crazy stuff. And in your situation, you're kind of, you know, you're supporting two or three teams that each of them think, well, Ryan's here for me, so sure he has time to do this.
They don't have any visibility into the other stuff. Yeah.
And the danger there is, you know, you want to communicate how busy you are to them, but you don't want to sound like, you know, you're complaining and you have no time for them because you are there to support them.
Right. Like last week, our quote of, my plate is just full.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah, use some of that office jargon to help yourself out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that you have your running to-do list, that, but even that is another task that's just hard to keep up. Mm-hmm. And you know, how many people really look at that? And
well, the other thing was, and I mean, I can't even, like my status reports and my to-do list and the things that I would normally use to show people, look, this is what I've got on my plate, I can't even keep up with that right now.
Right.
Because
exactly.
I have to be super slow to have time to do those, what I call luxury items. I don't have time for that stuff right now. I mean, it's been so bad. So it's been so bad this past week that I've been actually like leaving like late afternoon, coming home, eating, taking a nap, and then going back to work.
Right.
Because I know only if I come back at night when most people are gone can I achieve anything.
Yeah.
Like I had those backhaul dishes, the wireless backhaul dishes that I needed to get tested and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, I couldn't do it during the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to go back at night and turn the things on and test them with laptops and whatever. And, you know, they worked. And I was, like, so happy I called you. I was like, dude, you're the only one that can even appreciate the fact that these things work. And I had time to test it. But, yeah, it just sucks. And, like, late Thursday night, I was there running, you know, a network cable. You know, like a 250-foot network cable from one end of the building to the other.
Right.
And, I mean, I could never do that during the day.
No way.
You know, and yeah, not just because of user interruptions, but just like all the safety people. And
right.
All
well, the people everybody's that, in the way. And
right.
Even if nobody was bothering you, you would have to bother so many people to get the job done that they would end up tasking you because you're bothering them.
Yeah, or it's like, oh, I'm glad I ran into you. I've been meaning to ask you, could you like do all my work for me?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just the kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so true that that happens. I had a similar thing where I'm trying to set up a version control software for some of my users, and I've been trying to get it set up for like 2 weeks, and I just haven't had time to focus on it. Every time I get started into it, 5 minutes later, somebody's pinging on me. And then I stayed a couple hours after last week, and I was able to make, you know, 75% of the progress
right
in a short time.
Right. And I'm just amazed what I can accomplish when I go sometimes even like 3 to 4 hours without being interrupted. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I feel like I got a week's worth of work done, yeah. You know, versus a normal day, which is like I kind of, you know, insulted a few guys that were like sitting in my office waiting for me when I got there. And I was like, man, you guys are asses. I'm not even sitting down at my desk yet, and they're already queued up waiting to ask me stupid stuff.
Send me an email. Seriously.
Yeah.
I hate... There's nothing more annoying than you walk in the door and you're like trying to just get settled in for the day. You know, no matter what time you show up. You know, it doesn't matter. People waiting for me will just get under my skin, and I will just automatically put their whatever they want, no matter how important it is, goes at the bottom of the list. It doesn't matter.
Right. I will punish you for messing with me.
Yeah.
But it's like this week is going to be just like super hell.
Mm.
And I think what I'm going to do is just go underground. I'm going to come in and I'm probably just take my laptop and hook into the network somewhere where I know there's a drop in an abandoned office. Because we've got some offices which are kind of involved in moves and no one's in that office. I'll just duck in there, plug in the back behind some shelves, you know, do all my network stuff from there, remotely check my email through the web client,
right?
Remotely check my phone at my desk through the voicemail system. And
if anybody... You'll be telecommuting at work.
While I'm at work. If anyone catches me in my office, I fail. That's it. I just fail for the week.
So. Well, and here's the whole tragedy. I can almost guarantee that every sysadmin has this where it's like burnout of the day. Where, you know, you come in and you just get pinged so heavy. And then you go to lunch and you come back and you maybe get hit by two more things. And it's like 2 o'clock. And you just are so sick of it all that you just browse the web for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's just like, today was blown.
Yeah, and so you're just like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to start anything because I know in 5 minutes somebody's going to come in and attack me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tragic that that happens. And I have to say, the busier I am, the less that happens when I'm setting my own schedule. And I feel better when that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, man, I'm sure that everybody has that happen to them. It's so frustrating.
The other thing I was thinking of this week was sort of the thing where, I mean, if you look at users and the requests they generate, like, on a line chart, and you figure, like, what I call seasoned users are, like, users that are already cooked in, you know, so you got a guy who's been working there for 3 years. Chances are his email works, his printers work, all of his stuff has already been ironed out.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in and he just does a job and he goes home and you never hear from that guy. You know, those are the users that you want.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with us in the summer is that we get so many visitors and researchers and professors and people that come in.
You've been hit by that more. Are you?
Yeah. Yes. But, I mean, a new user needs so much stuff. Mm-hmm. They need all their printers. They need computers. They need equipment moved. They need new network drops. And they're going to have problems with everything. And they don't know how we do stuff. So they're asking all these questions. And... you know, your upper management sees, Ryan normally has a load of, you know, say whatever the number is, 25, 30, 40 users.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we add, you know, another 15 users, it shouldn't be, quote unquote, that bad.
Right.
But the problem is that if you looked at that chart, that line goes up exponentially because every user you add is going to have 5 to 10 problems.
Yeah.
So suddenly you went from, you know, having 1 or 2 problems a week to like, 70 problems a week, you know, and that's, you can't get anything
done. And the tragedy is, you know, a lot of these new people are new to the corporate world, so they don't know how things kind of go.
Right.
You know, they have these preconceived notions of everything happens immediately because, you know, look at all this money and why is this taking so long? And,
or they think, I'm special.
Yeah.
Where's my attention?
Yeah, I'm special. Look at me. I'm at this great new job, you know. Yeah, and... so that makes it worse, and I don't know. It's frustrating to me to not be able to meet that need because it starts to make me feel like I'm failing, even though maybe they've just piled too much on there. And here's the other tragedy of that situation where we're describing of these summer users. They're only here for a little bit, so you put all this time into them. And then they're gone.
And they poof after 12 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and so all that work is just gone.
Yeah.
You know, and even if they come back, you pretty much have to start over because of the bureaucracy that we're in.
Well, it's almost worse if they come back because they're like, Well, where's my data?
Where's my old files?
Where's my old files? Didn't you save them?
Luckily.
No. I think you've gotten pretty good at learning how to cope with that.
Yeah, but. I keep all their old stuff on another server, and I just move it back and give them permission to it. But
I'm sure you had to learn that lesson the hard way.
Well, actually, no. It was more like, welcome back. By the way, I have your data because I've been doing this job for 10 years.
Bam!
Yeah, and most of them are like, oh, that was last summer. I don't even need that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So I've been backing up your 50 gig of crap for a whole year that I didn't even need to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. But like I say, I'm just going to go underground this week. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to see me. I'm going to wear a blonde wig and, put on a ninja outfit or something, man.
Yeah.
People don't even know I'm there.
Yeah, go ninja style.
And just let them just stack up and wait. Yeah. And I really hate the fact that, helping one person means that I'm not helping others.
Well, especially if what you're helping that person with is very pointless. Or, if it's the fourth or fifth time you've done that same thing for them.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, I need to... I think once I get angry enough, then it's like I start being rude.
It's time to bring the angry, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm bringing angry back
to
system administration.
Remember, stay angry.
Yeah. I don't know, I think I'm just too beaten down to even be angry.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that, man.
I'm just the ox in front of the cart that just gets whipped all day, and I'm like, moo, whatever.
So, out of all this, do you have any tips for maybe some new budding sysadmins to keep them from getting beaten down so quickly? Any thoughts on that that you can, assist somebody new or maybe somebody who hasn't learned these lessons yet?
I would say try to identify a place where if you sow time into it, mm-hmm. that it's going to amount to something. Because
mm-hmm.
pretty soon you're going to learn that some people are just a time sink.
Yeah.
That no matter how much help they have, they're not going to achieve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Helping that person doesn't help me or them.
Right.
So, I have some very, very smart users that, if I give them a little bit of technology or provide... an IT solution for that person, they're going to take that and just exceed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're just going to go far with it.
Right.
It's like putting gas in a race car and bam, it just goes a million miles an hour. I mean, those are the type of users that I want to put my IT support time into because I know it's going to amount to something.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that have their bosses and their managers' attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if my superstar users who have a lot of visibility, if they go back and tell their upper management, Ryan helped me out with this and now I'm doing great, then that's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the needy users, the users that, the management maybe not doesn't like them or just gave them some, busy work to do, that doesn't really help me. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm sounding pretty callous about this, but.
Well, I think it's just, that's the reality. That's the reality of the job. Right. It is a support job, so you have to be a little calloused about it all. Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing is you just have to kind of learn to set limits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe you can't set limits with your boss, but you kind of have to, pretty much pick a certain window. Maybe it's Fridays. Maybe you just tell yourself, look, Friday, I'm not working any user problems.
Mm-hmm.
Friday is the day when I'm setting up backups for the weekend.
Right.
I'm checking all my disk quotas. I'm doing, network testing to make sure all that's good. I'm reviewing my firewall logs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just doing stuff for me that helps me stay sane so that I can go home for the weekend, relax, and feel like I'm on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say that kind of touches on what I would say would be, my, not tip, but, kind of prioritizing what comes in as it comes in, I think, is helpful. I've actually started using recently a little software package called IGTD based on the getting things done process.
Oh, yeah.
It's only a Mac app, unfortunately, but, I'm on a Mac, so that's all I care about. But it's pretty cool because you can set up categories and then you have, your inbox. So if somebody comes at me with a task, I throw it in the inbox, and then when I have 5 or 10 minutes later to prioritize those tasks and filter them into their current categories.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this for about 2 weeks now. And it's been so helpful with, filtering the garbage out and just making sure I keep on what's really important at the time.
Right. And I think part of the getting things done mantra was to look at your big tasks,
mm-hmm.
like boulders.
Yeah.
And put them into the container of your week first.
Right.
and then sprinkle in all the little things that will settle in around those.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you fill up your whole can with the big rocks,
right,
with the little rocks, then you don't have any room for the big rocks. Mm-hmm. You know, so your important things never get done.
Yeah, and I'm only partway through the book, so I haven't even finished the book yet. But I would say it's a anybody who is just feeling overwhelmed with lots of little tasks, and then your projects get neglected, it's a good system to look into. You know, it won't fit for everybody, but.
Mm-hmm.
I think just any sort of system will help in any form.
I really need to do that because when people come into my office, their little problems,
mm-hmm.
it's like it would just make me sick to add that to my already long to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I just want to get up and just get rid of them
right then
to keep it off the list.
Yeah.
But that's just a trap.
Yeah. So. Well, and then I'm thinking of someone specifically who every time this person gets a task, no matter how important or little importance it is, and no matter what has been given to this guy in the past, is like that becomes priority number one. So this person becomes really annoying because nothing is ever getting done, and that's kind of a little rat hole. But
or their task becomes your task,
right?
Yeah, it's like
that's usually what happens.
I just got assigned this. What can you do to help me achieve it? You know,
yeah.
So I don't know. But you guys, if you have any input or thoughts about this topic, feel free to drop by our forums at forum.angryadmins.com.
Angryadmins.com/forum.
Yeah, what he said. I don't know.
or send us an email.
Or send us an email.
feedback@angryadmins.com.
Yeah, we have a website. I don't even know where it's at.
Yeah, websites. Who needs them?
So anyway, that's our rant on that this week.
Well, that's the show for this week. I want to thank everybody for tuning in again. And remember, it is angryadmins.com/forum. I want to congratulate Ryan on remembering it was at least singular.
Who was it? Forum? /forum/.com?
Yeah. Or just Google angryadmins and you'll find us. So thanks for tuning in. We're going to wrap it up since we're going kind of long this week. But thank you for listening. Hit the website. And we will see you guys next time. I'm Joe Bibby.
I'm Ryan Necessary.
And remember,
stay angry.